As we close out this year, the United States is reaching a new high in the pandemic, with an average 265,000 new infections per day. At least 816,000 Americans have died since the pandemic began. And if we spin back to January of this year, a new president had a new plan to deliver 100 million vaccine shots in his first 100 days.
Our plan is as clear as it is bold. Get more people vaccinated for free. Create more places for them to get vaccinated. Mobilize more medical teams to get the shots in people's arms.
That succeeded. But overall, more Americans died of COVID this year than last. So what did we achieve in 2021, and where are we now? Let's bring in Ashish Jha. He's Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Scott, for having me back.
Now, the year 2021 in COVID begins, of course, with a new president. What did it mean from a public health perspective to have that switch in leadership?
It was really helpful, and I felt it because through much of 2020 into the early days of January 21, I was on the phone, you know, several times a day with state leaders across the country because they felt like the federal government had just abandoned them and they were getting very little help managing this pandemic. And almost overnight, that switched. The federal government had now become a partner with the states, and we could see it, and we could see it in the ramping up of vaccinations, and we saw it in other places as well. So it was really helpful to have a federal government focused on trying to bring this pandemic to an end.
For a while, we started the year and didn't have enough vaccines. Now the supply is good, yet only about 60% of this country is fully vaccinated. In your view, how well has the vaccination campaign gone this year?
Yeah, it's a story of both successes and failures, right? I mean, on the success side, we got to a point where by April, every American who wanted a vaccine could get one. And for those of us who got vaccinated, it was really a great moment. I think the failures came in a couple fold. One was there was a large proportion of Americans who ended up really, I think, being poisoned by toxic misinformation about vaccines. And obviously, that has led and continues to lead to a lot of Americans opting out of getting vaccinated against a deadly disease for which we have safe and effective vaccines. Some of us were caught off guard by the size of the group, and my sense is that the Biden administration was as well. The second part was as the virus shifted and as we got to Delta and as we learned of waning immunity, there was a lot of confusion coming out of the federal government. Poor messaging from the CDC, FDA.
Certainly seemed very confusing to us on the boosters, right? Who gets one? Who doesn't get one?
Exactly. And actually, the science on this has not been that confusing. This is the part that people don't understand, is that the science on boosters, I would say, was pretty clear by early to mid-August that every adult needed one 5-6 months after their second shot. And yet, we spent months fighting about it. And even today, I think a lot of Americans remain confused about whether they should get a booster or not. That certainly also stymied the effectiveness of the vaccine response.
Well, speaking of the politics of this pandemic, let's take a listen to former Governor Sarah Palin. She spoke in Phoenix last week on vaccines.
It'll be over my dead body that I'll have to get a shot. I will not do it. They better not touch my kids either.
Some people say, though, I might lose my job. I might get kicked out of school.
Yeah, I know. And if enough of us rise up and say, no, enough is enough, there are more of us than there are of them.
So, Dr. Jha, as a public health expert, how do you think about the costs of this political division?
It is a reminder that we can get the science right, but until we get the social science and the politics right, we can't really defeat this virus. At this point, the scientific community has generated all the tools we need to put this pandemic in a rearview mirror. The fact that we have decided to use vaccines and testing and masks as the symbol of political resistance, I would argue that's the primary reason we are in where we are.
One of the tools in the box that you describe as far as society trying to push back on COVID is treatments for people diagnosed with COVID. What have we learned this year about treating COVID-19 and how well we do it?
This year, in 2021, we developed therapies for early treatment. Monoclonal antibodies, certainly very, very helpful, very useful. Hmm. Hard to scale to millions of people, but you can certainly do it for tens of thousands. And so giving it to high-risk people makes a big difference. And the thing that we've all been waiting for are the oral pills. You go to CVS or Walgreens and you pick up your prescription, and that makes a big difference. We have that with Paxlovid. This is the Pfizer pill. The science keeps delivering. You know, 2 years ago, none of us had heard of this virus. And in under 2 years, not only have we developed these vaccines, but we have these terrific therapies. The question of, are we going to be able to scale it up? Are people going to use it? Are they going to use it in the right way? All of those remain with us. And those are going to be the challenges of 2022.
Well, it is a good reminder of the speed of science and innovation that you talk about. That is racing, of course, against the speed of mutations. We had the original version of the virus, and then I remember we panicked over this gamma variant, but the real threat turned out to be Delta. And now, of course, we have Omicron, which has so many mutations. What are we learning about this virus and how it can mutate?
Yeah, it's a really a humbling thing to watch. And this one has seen a lot of really significant mutations leading to new strains and has continued to surprise us. You know, I think Delta was much worse than what most experts were anticipating. And Omicron is a little bit of out of left field. It doesn't follow any of the sort of standard lineages. It's not where most evolutionary biologists sort of thought the virus would mutate to. So it's a reminder that while we know a lot about these things, Mother Nature has the ability to surprise us, and we have to be humble and we have to prepare. And it also means that any prognostication about where the mutations are going next, where the variant is going next, should be taken with a big grain of salt.
Yeah. Well, with Omicron, allow me to ask you to make a little bit of a guess. It emerged around Thanksgiving weekend and in a couple of weeks became the country's dominant variant. And how do you think about what January will bring?
Yeah. January may be, in some ways, one of the hardest months of the pandemic. It will be very disruptive because I expect the sheer number of infections in January of 2022 will probably be the single biggest month of the pandemic in terms of just measured by infections. When I think back to December of 2020, you know, 250,000, 260,000 infections a day. We're going to blow through that. We're going to get much, much higher numbers.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing some say get ready for a million new cases.
Possibly. And the reason we may not hit a million is because we may not be able to test enough people to do that. So it's going to outstrip our testing capacity. Now, that all sounds like a nightmare, and it is not a nightmare. So why is it not a nightmare? It's not a nightmare because 60%+ of Americans are fully vaccinated. 75-80% of adults are fully vaccinated. Most of our highest risk people are vaccinated. Most of them are going to do fine. I will say there are enough vulnerable unvaccinated people that I'm really worried about our hospital capacity. But the hospitalizations and deaths are going to be largely confined to the highest risk individuals who are not boosted or people who are not vaccinated at all.
Well, I do hear you as we start a new year, you know, certainly with, you know, some sobering thoughts on Omicron, but also some hope because we have, as you described, these tools that science has delivered in the toolbox. So let me end by asking you a longer view question that is, given these 2 years of this pandemic we've seen around the world, what have we learned about how this will end, as it were?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I would say Omicron is a really helpful lens through which to understand what's going to happen in 2022 and 23. And you can't prognosticate too, right? I already told you, if you prognosticate, you got to take it with a grain of salt. So, you know, there's an old saying that pandemics end with a whimper, not with a bang. And the idea is that pandemics fade into the background. And so the question is, when does that happen and how does that happen? It'll happen for everybody a bit differently. But there will be a day, I suspect in 2022, when most of your listeners are going to wake up one morning, and it'll be a different morning for different people, and realize they haven't thought about COVID in weeks. And that'll be the day that the pandemic is over for them. And doesn't mean COVID will be gone, but each wave has less and less of an impact on how many people it gets really, really sick and kills. So even though the Omicron wave may end up infecting a lot of people, my hope and expectation is that it will not cause us to have 4,000 or 5,000 deaths a day that we did a year ago, especially if we can get more people vaccinated. So even if the virus doesn't become less lethal, our ability to manage it keeps getting better and better. And we as a human species become more and more immune to it. And that's how we ultimately defeat this virus. And if we can stick closer to the science, it'll happen faster with fewer deaths. If we don't, it'll still happen. It'll go slower with more suffering. And that's really the choice in front of us.
Ashish Jha is Dean of the Brown University School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, thank you as always, and best to you and your team as we enter a new year.
Thank you so much, Scott, and happy holidays, and hope for a really healthy and safe 2022.